Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
July 24th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, digital days and more. Welcome back to another digital story. I have a few things to talk about today, as you may have guessed. One is I want to talk a little bit about the Digital Days Tour that's going around the U.S. right now. It's run by Popular Photography and has some really good sponsors too, such as Sony Cameras and Adobe. And I taught at the San Francisco show this last weekend, and I have a few things to recap about that because I think they're interesting. Also, I have a follow-up interview with Colleen Wheeler. As you know, we talked to Colleen a few weeks ago before she left for her trip to Ireland. She's back now, and I wanted to just sort of close that loop a little bit. And, you know, she made all these plans, and we had discussions about her trip preparations, and I wanted to see if they actually worked or not. I mean, it's one thing to do a show on preparing for a trip, then it's another thing to do a show that actually follows up to see how well all that yammering went. So Colleen will be joining us in a few minutes, and we will be finding out how her packing went. Before we bring Colleen on the air, however, I want to take a few moments to talk about our Flickr public group that we have, the Digital Story public group on Flickr. It's going really well. I'm enjoying the discussions, and I really like seeing all the photographs that are there. Now, one of the things that we're experimenting with on this public group is we're letting people add a critique tag if they want to have some more commentary on their photography. So, you know, the way that it works is if you don't want people to really talk about the photography itself, you know, they just want a general comment about the photo, no critique tag. But if you want one of the photographers in the Digital Story Virtual Camera Club to really comment on it in terms of its photographic qualities, then you put the critique tag on. And I just wanted to encourage you, if you enjoy looking at photographs and you enjoy talking about photographs, then go ahead and jump in there. All you have to do is do a search on the critique tag itself. And it's very easy. You just pull up the Digital Story there, the Flickr group, and you do search on critique. And then I always sort by, you know, the latest photos. They have most relevant and, you know, the most current and all that. I just search on the current. And then I just mosey through the photos until I find a few that I like, and then I'll comment on them. And, you know, people that are putting the critique tags on, they're hungry for your comments. They want to know what you think. And if you have a little time to motor through and give your feedback, I think they would really appreciate it. And I think it's one of the things that make our area on Flickr a little different than a lot of the other sites, where you just motor down through the comments and you just see, yeah, nice job, man, great shot, I love it, nice job, great shot, love it, yada, yada, yada. So at any rate, I guess the main message there is if you have a little time and you don't mind pitching in and giving some feedback, I'd love it. And I know a lot of our Virtual Camera Club members would love it if you contribute. Okay, well, let's bring Colleen on and find out how the heck her trip to Ireland went and how her packing went. Well, I'm back with Colleen Wheeler. She's returned from Ireland. So great to have you back, Colleen.
Thank you. I think I'm just about recovered from jet lag. Took me a week.
That's about right. Isn't there a rule of thumb on jet lag about how many hours you've been in the air and how many days it takes, all that sort of thing?
I think it's how many hours ahead you were of your regular time, and then it takes that many days, which would be about right. It's about day 8, and I'm feeling almost like myself again.
So we're all just waiting to hear. Just kind of give us a general feel. Did you overpack? Did you underpack? Did it work out just perfectly?
On the whole, in terms of the equipment that I took for photography, it worked out almost perfectly. I mean, there were a few things I couldn't have anticipated about, you know, the weather and the rain and not being into, you know, I took a lot more snapshot type vacation photos and less contemplative artistic type photos. So in terms of use, I used my compact camera a lot more, but that actually made me happy that I had chosen a pretty powerful compact camera too, because it was a lot easier to carry that around and in the rain and the logistics and everything, and yet still have, you know, some nice images to work with.
So you took the Panasonic, which one was it?
The LX2. So I was shooting raw, and then I also took my computer so I could upload them and look at them right away and still have that kind of fun experience rather than just reviewing pictures on your LCD screen until you get home. And then I took a Rebel XT, which I borrowed from somebody. And, you know, really I learned something. I think you've talked about this before. I had been borrowing your Canon 10D for all of the spring, and I really had a familiarity with that camera. And then something in my brain decided I needed something more lightweight or something to take overseas with me. But I missed the 10D, and I think because I missed my familiarity with it, and it's kind of my friend, and I wasn't used to the Rebel and certain features of the Rebel that I just wasn't used to. So I didn't have as a spiritual of an experience when I had the DSLR out that I was used to.
So in other words, it would have been probably nice to have that 10D with you.
I wouldn't have noticed the weight difference as much as I noticed noticing the weight difference on the other end in my hands was much more noticeable than a couple of extra ounces in my carry-on, I think.
Now, one of the big hits that you told me about when I first talked to you when you got back was the compact printer. And as I recall, you took a little Canon selfie die sub printer, and you had a family reunion, and your idea was to really basically print as quickly as possible and build a book that you could leave behind. So how did that whole thing go?
It worked out really well, and in that way that being flexible when you travel works out well. So this thing is about the size of a thick paperback. You know, it's not very big. But there was still some question of, you're taking a printer all the way to Ireland? And I took it in my carry-on because I couldn't afford to have it lost. The reunion was the day after I landed. And so I couldn't, you know, we were 2 hours from the airport. So I couldn't afford to not have it with me. So the first day I decided to test it. And my cousin and sister had been to Blarney Castle. And I printed out a picture of my cousin kissing the Blarney Stone. And it just so happens that, you know, the paper sizes are these postcards, and they actually have the lines for the postcards on the back. So I could immediately hand over these test prints to her, and she had this personalized, "Hi, I kissed the Blarney Stone" postcard from the first day of her trip. So that was fun, just, you know, not even talking about the project that I had taken it for. That turned out to be really fun. And then the book, I had taken a photo album, and it wasn't really, it was a scrapbooking album. So it was 8x8. So it had room for two of these postcards on each page. But because it didn't have the 4x6 sort of slots to do it quickly, I had taken a set of photo corners too. So my idea was there would be this reunion, and then I would spend the evening printing out, and then I would put it together and we'd drop it off the next day. Well, in that way that travel happens, you know, things just happen faster. And so the reunion ended, and we were all kind of sitting around in this room because we were in the hotel, and they kind of let us hang out. So I brought the printer down there, and the whole family, my immediate family, made decisions on which pictures they liked. And then I just tossed them into these 8x8 pages so that there was one on each page, because we were going out to the farm where this cousin of mine that I really wanted to gift with this thing lived. And so rather than do the whole photo corners thing and make my decisions, I realized there were so many digital cameras at this reunion. In fact, I posted a picture on the Digital Story Flickr site of like just cameras in every direction. And I thought, well, it's sort of arrogant to think that she would only want mine. I mean, obviously there's going to be a bunch of great photographs from this reunion. So just being able to toss them in so she had the immediate effect. And then I just made the photo corners part of the gift and said, as you collect these, you know, as you collect photos from everybody who is here, there are about 100 people there, you'll be able to put together your own formal album. And so this was just sort of an immediate thing. And we had gone out to the farm that night, you know, in the hills of Ireland. There's no street names. We're out on this farm. And my cousin, she's actually my second cousin once removed, I think, just said, "This is like a miracle." And that, at that moment, anyone who wanted to argue with me for taking a printer was just, had lost their argument, because to have her turning the pages, and you know, other people were coming out. It was kind of like the post party few hours after reunion had ended, and she just felt it was a miracle that already there was this beautiful photo album ready to roll, and the pictures come off of that thing really nicely. And so, you know, it definitely had a sense of the miracle of modern technology.
It's a beautiful device. And the other thing, and not only do the pictures look good, but they're archival. So this is a gift that will hold up to the test of time and so forth. So what a wonderful, I'm so glad that turned out well. I think this is a great idea. And you know, I might be making a little bit more room in some of my suitcases in the future. How did the power outlet thing go with recharging stuff and power strips and all that kind of? Did that go okay?
It went fine, actually. I did not have a converter myself. I just had the plug adapter and my outlets to go that has four regular American outlets. And so I put the adapter into the wall and then plugged that in. So I immediately had four spaces that took an American plug. Because most of the things I was plugging in were, you know, could do go either way on the voltage. They were all chargers, basically. That worked. The one that didn't work was actually the Game Boy charger. It needs your standard American currency, apparently. And so that one I had to borrow an adapter from somebody else in my traveling party. But on the whole, it worked great. And having those four outlets in one space, because, you know, when you're in a hotel room, you find the one outlet that's convenient because the rest are behind large pieces of furniture or have 8 million things already plugged into them. And so I love it when you find that one easy to get to outlet and you suddenly turn it into four that you can use.
It feels very family, doesn't it? So one last question for you. Now, you had set up your 11-year-old son with a camera and you were hoping for some unique perspectives and possibly even a little bit of movie making there. How did that end of it go?
He's 11, so it went well for about 2 days. And then, you know, then something else attracted his attention. Or honestly, the rain sort of set in and we were spending less time adventuring outside and more time just trying to stay busy inside. And so there was less of a... But, you know, the thing I realized about 11-year-olds is that they will remind you it's time to stop taking pictures and it's time to start looking around. So we had stumbled on this birds of prey sanctuary, and he loves bald eagles. And, you know, here I am, and this show at the sanctuary had the birds flying over our heads. It was totally amazing, and I'm trying to capture it, you know, on film. And he's just standing there with his mouth open, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to stop and watch this and just not try to freeze frame a moment of it.
So he did serve his role, only in a way that you hadn't anticipated.
Yeah, and the movies, I forget about movies. It's so funny. We were out on this boat where you spot the dingle dolphin. There's this dolphin that's been living in Dingle Bay for 19 years, and it's getting harder and harder to spot because the poor thing's tired of performing for tourists. And so the boat, they don't charge you until you've seen the dolphin. And there are about 20 people on this boat. And of course, they all have their cameras. And of course, every time we see the dolphin, the whole boat lists to one side, you know. And I actually did catch it coming out of the water just by sheer luck. But then, you know, later my sister said, oh, well, I just took a movie when it was upside the boat, you know. And so she has this great boat of this great shot of the shadow kind of going, and then it'll come up for air. And I forget about movies. And so there were a couple of times where I had to remind myself that I had movie making capabilities too. And to me, that's going to be the interesting thing of learning how and when to just switch to movie mode and just to a little recording of life rather than trying to make a pristine photograph.
I had an interesting thing happen the other day. I was meeting with wedding clients, and they've already decided to hire me. And so we were talking about the pictures and so forth and go, we'd actually like, there's just a few moments we'd like a little bit of video. And I said, well, you know, I can set up a camcorder, yeah. And they go, no, well, we were just wondering if you could just shoot a little bit of video with one of those compact cameras because, you know, the quality's just fine and that's actually all we want. And I go, absolutely. Do you want, you know, 3x4 or 16x9? And so I actually am having clients request, you know, capturing movie with these compact cameras now instead of a camcorder because, you know, I just give them the files and then they can do whatever they want with them.
It's really a great, I think it's going to be this thing that records things we weren't used to. You know, if somebody's talking about, the other day somebody was talking about something I wanted to remember, and I had my camera in my hand. I also probably have a voice recorder on my Trio, but instead I was just like, could you say that again? And just took a movie of it. And I've actually watched that movie a couple of times processing, you know, the thing that I wanted to take away from. So just as sheer record, not even as entertainment, but just as recording of ideas, much like, you know, taking a photograph of, we did do the photograph of the where we were parked, the parking by the numbers. But here's an interesting thing. You have to do that with your cell phone, because if you don't, so I was excited about teaching Wheeler, my 11-year-old, this method, right? So he whips out the compact camera that he has in his little bag and he's all excited to be empowered with and takes the picture. And then I realized later, you know, while I was downloading all the pictures onto my computer so I could reformat the card, that, oh, by the way, I don't want to reformat. I mean, that's not something you're going to have, you know, at 11 o'clock at night when you're jet lagged and looking for your parking space. So I took my Trio out and actually shot the LCD screen of the camera so that I would have it on the Trio. But that's just a little tip. If you're parking by the numbers and taking a picture for reference, use your cell phone, because you will have it when, you know, hopefully you'll have it and your keys when all you can think about is just getting in your car and getting home.
That's a great tip for bleary-eyed travelers. Well, welcome back. I'm glad you're back in the pink, and I look forward to seeing some more of your shots. So we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks so much, Colleen. Actually, I'll be hitting the road next week myself, and I've already started packing. But, of course, I'm on the road a lot, so I actually never really unpack, to tell you the truth. Speaking of which, I want to talk a little bit about the Digital Days event that I went to. I had never been to one before, and this is put on by Pop Photo, as I mentioned earlier. You can find out more about it by going to Google and just searching on Popular Photography Digital Days. It should be the first hit, and you get to see a little bit about the event itself and then where it's going next. And they hit all these different cities in the U.S. I think Chicago is the next stop. We did San Francisco this last weekend. And it's a very interesting thing. A gentleman named Phil Mistry, he's terrific. He's high energy. He works for Popular Photography. He's a very knowledgeable photographer, and he's also just a real people person. He runs the whole thing, and it's 2 days at one of these hotels that are near an airport, you know, so it's easy to get to, and they rent a couple ballrooms, and they, you know, they do all the things that you would expect at a 2-day workshop. You know, they provide lunch, there's breaks with refreshments, they have handouts, they have sponsors there, you know, where you can look at sponsor products and talk to the representatives, you know, all that kind of trade show sort of stuff, which is a lot of fun. I like that stuff a lot. I like having something to do at breaks, and I like having people to talk to, and I like, you know, playing with new equipment. I mean, let's face it, I'm a photographer. So anyway, they have all of that stuff, and then the sessions themselves, Phil runs a lot of the sessions, and he spends a lot of time really helping you understand good capture, how to take good pictures, how to master your camera, which I think is so very important. You know, so I spend a lot of time on these topics myself. And Phil is very energetic. He's very entertaining, and he does a really great job. And then what he does, he has guest speakers come in, and they talk about different things over the course of the day, and it sort of breaks it up because, you know, no matter how great Phil is, and he is terrific, it's nice to have a little change of pace and see a different face. So in the morning, you get one guest speaker, and then in the afternoon, you get another guest speaker. I was one of these guest speakers. On the first day in the afternoon, I talked about Adobe Photoshop Lightroom and gave folks a nice introduction to it and showed them how it worked and all that sort of stuff. And then on the second day, I did CS3, and I really focused on the new bridge and Adobe Camera Raw and then some of the new tools in CS3 that I like. I like, for instance, that they fixed brightness and contrast. I love Photo Merge. If you haven't played with Photo Merge in CS3, it's really smart. And it's not just for making panoramas. You can use it for taking a whole cluster of shots, and it will figure it out and merge them together. And then I also like the new black and white controls in CS3, and I think they did a great job with allowing you to intelligently convert photos to black and white without having to do a whole bunch of rigmarole that isn't fun. So I covered all of that stuff on the second day, and it was a lot of fun. And then they would go on to something else after I finished. One of the things that they did on the second day, which was really cool, is Phil set up three portrait stations. Now, this was in a separate room. So we had the lectures in one ballroom with a stage and a big screen and projector and everything. And then in the second room, he set up three portrait stations that had full lighting and nice backdrops and all that kind of stuff. He used three light setups at each of the stations. And then they hired five models. And so at any given time, you had three models working in the setups there. And then you had another two models that were available, changing clothes. So then they could come out and relieve another model. And you always had, new models to take a picture of. And these models were, they're a wide variety, which I thought was also really cool. One was a very young girl. She was Asian and about 8 years old. And then there was a teenager, a black woman, who had a very, very beautiful face, very full-featured. Had the skinny blonde type. You had one model, she was a goth type. She was, very super skinny arms and everything and kind of that pale complexion and would do these very, dramatic poses. So, I mean, there was this really cool variety of people that the photographers had a chance to take pictures of. And then what you could do is that you could just wander from one station to another. And since they were using hot lights, they weren't using strobes, then all you had to do was really know how to set your camera up, and then you could just shoot. And of course, you got a little tutorial before the shoot started on making sure that, you had, you're set to aperture priority, usually, at a wide opening. And they had you shoot at ISO 400 because you are shooting hot lights, which means they're not as bright as strobes. And they used automatic color balance. I actually set a custom white balance setting when I did my shots. And I'll include a shot or two from that in the show notes for this show so you can take a look and get a feel for it. But anyway, they did that for a good hour and a half, and just were rotating the models. And then Phil would go up there and he would work with the model and he would offer suggestions on how to take pictures. And then he would have people, show their LCDs. Oh, that's great. That's great the way you just, moved in real tight on the hands. Or, oh, I like the, where you got back and you got the full figure. And that's a nice angle. Oh, that angle, maybe not quite so good. Oh, if you have the head turned away, make sure there's a little bit of the nose profile. And, things like that. And he would turn off a fill light and have dramatic lighting. Then he'd turn the fill light back on with a little bit more balanced lighting. And it was really very exciting. And everyone got a real kick out of it. And I saw a lot of good photographs in the LCDs. So, once people warmed up and really started working the models and so forth, there's just, some terrific photography going on in the room. And then after the model shoot, we would go back into class and we'd have another session and, talk about either post-production or capture or whatever was on the agenda. Now, these things are fairly affordable. It's like $65 a day or something for each day. And you do get some swag and you get to take pictures and you learn a lot and have good speakers. So if it's something that sounds interesting to you, you might want to go over to the Digital Day site, take a look at it, the schedule, see when it's coming out your way. And I think it's worth investigating. It's particularly good, I think, for beginning to intermediate photographers. Advanced photographers, there'll be some things that you've already heard, but you will probably learn some new things too. And I think in part that will depend on the speakers. The way that they set up the weekend is that supposedly the first day is more of a beginner day and the second day is more of an intermediate day. However, they didn't feel that much different to me, and I saw a lot of the people there both days, and there's so much to learn and so much to talk about that, people just, I think, signed up for both days, generally speaking. But at any rate, it's worth taking a look at. I had a good time, and it really felt like that everyone in the room was having a good time, too. So if you want to hang out with some other photographers, learn some new tips, and take some nice shots, keep an eye out for Digital Days if it's coming out your way. Last thing that I want to cover, remember that our photo assignment for this month, for July, is pattern. Nice shots coming in. I really enjoy looking at these things. I think we're going to have another outstanding gallery. So pattern will be our photo assignment for July. Remember, the end of July is your deadline to turn in your photo. And if you have any questions about how to do that, just go to the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com. As I mentioned, I'm going to be gone next week. I'll actually be on vacation, something I don't do very much of. I'm usually doing some sort of working vacation, but I'm going to try to do vacation. I still will probably be posting next week, but if I miss a day here or there, please forgive me, and just know that I'm probably drinking a Mai Tai or something like that, and that I'm there in spirit with you. But I'm going to try to keep up the publishing schedule best I can. I'm letting all the other work go, but I do want to hang out with you guys as much as possible, so I'll try to keep the site going. But if I do miss a day, maybe you'll cut me a little slack because I am on vacation. And I want to mention the grab shots. Keep them rolling, and I'll keep publishing them. I want to thank our sponsors, both Expo Disc, making the best tool for custom white balance, and also the good folks over at Photomagico, the best slideshow software in the world. Both of them have tiles on the Digital Story, and you can go over to any of the pages and click on their tiles and find out the latest for both Expo Disc and Photomagico. All right, well, I think that will wrap it up for this week. I'm going to go take some pictures. I hope you go take some pictures, and then we'll meet back here. I'm hoping next week. I'll try to get a podcast ready, but if not next week, definitely the week after. We'll see. All right, until then, bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.